Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard, unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland, and we have a very impressive lineup again this week. I want to thank Jordan Rooney last week, who's this brand guru, amazing Pittsburgh guy.
Incredible what he's done with social media and with these young athletes.
And then we found out in the midst of doing podcast episode 21 was that we had an influencer among us, and that's Jim Crenn. Jim, you asked Jordan Rooney, what's it take to be an influencer? He said at least 10,000. You doubled that, so you're a double influencer.
I think he was just doing it to build up my self-esteem. I don't think it's real. He just wanted me to feel good, I think.
But I loved it when you asked him for his card and he looked at it. He's 32 years old. And he goes, we don't really do that anymore.
He's like that is so 2020.
So the cool part about Jim with us today is we're 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street, Pittsburgh's Bourbon Street here, down by the Birmingham Bridge. I want to thank Bob Bozzelli and his partner Lou Caputo being gracious for us to do the episode 22 here again. And Jim is attending a comedy festival on the left coast, and he's hanging out with Pittsburgher. You got someone, I'll let you introduce who you're with because you're bivouacking at his house.
I'd say we're the palatial estate of a Pittsburgher who moved to Los Angeles many years ago, over two decades or so ago, and he is the king here in Los Angeles, and he's nice enough. Every few months I come out here and I bother him, and I stay. I'm like your pool boy. I'm the pool boy. And every 3 months I clean his pool for him. And he lets me, we do stand-up together, we tour together, and now we're off to San Luis Obispo for the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival, which is the top 40 comedians in the West Coast, and I'm from L.A., which is Lawrenceville area. That makes me West Coast. Here's Mark Eddy.
Hey, Mark.
Mark Eddy here. How are you, everybody?
Hi, Mark.
The studio audience out there, we are here at the... at my humble abode here. Got a nice little house out here in the suburbs, kind of
Santa Clarita.
Yeah, Santa Clarita Diet. If you've seen the big Netflix special.
That's right.
Anyway, right here in Santa Clarita, beautiful town. Jim and I had a wonderful spa day yesterday, getting ready for the comedy festival, the Central Coast area, San Luis Obispo.
I'm trying to picture the two of you at a spa yesterday.
All right, so
what services
Mark
did you get? I'm just curious.
Really give me the Cali thing. You'd love it, Sheila. And which is, he looks at me and he says, we're going to, on the road tomorrow, we have to go get a mani-pedi.
You know, guys now, in Pittsburgh don't know what a mani-pedi is.
I have not heard my friend Bob Bozzelli say these words. I have not heard Larry say it. I've never heard anyone say, you got to get a mani-pedi. So I didn't know what that was.
It's very metro. It's very metro.
Very metro. So next thing you know, we are there, and we got the man. I got to tell you, my toenails look fantastic.
That's terrifying, actually, Jim, because, as you know, we'll never see them here except for 1 month in the summer, potentially. But, Mark, how long have you been?
Great. Listen, we did something called cryotherapy.
Oh, yeah. Men cryotherapy. Yeah, right here in Valencia.
And you freeze. They freeze you. And I don't know what it does to me, but I was in pain. Now, you sit there for 3 hours, or 3 minutes, I'm sorry, you know, for 3 minutes, and I was going to quit. And I quit. And then this beautiful little girl, she looks at me and she goes, I made it through. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'll never be able to show my face in here again. Mark will make fun of me. So I did it. I somehow made it through. It is nice.
You know, you could just stay here and do the polar plunge.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and I know that, Mark, how long have you been out living in California? Again, Mark's a Pittsburgher. If you haven't followed his career, he's amazing talent. And he uses music as part of his act. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, yes.
How long have you been there, Mark?
Started out right there in Pittsburgh, originally from Steubenville, Ohio. All my peeps over in the Ville, Steubenville. But yeah, man, been out here for 21, 22 plus years, long time. But just love it here, just really do. But I love Pittsburgh. I'm getting a place back there. I'm going to get something, I think, up around Beaver, maybe. I don't know. I love the burg. I love coming back. And all my friends are there, everybody. So it's great.
Life in California is so different. When I've been out there, I would take notice of things they have or do that we don't. And one of those was in Burbank. I was working on a movie, and I drove up the street, and I saw there was in a plaza a colon blow center.
No, I'm not kidding.
You could get a coffee enema in California. Am I lying, Mark?
No, it's real. It's real.
That's kind of a TMI moment.
Thank God you didn't take me there.
I didn't say I went.
No, I'm just saying.
Mark will tell you.
I could go my whole day without hearing that.
I draw the line at Mani-Pedi. And cryotherapy.
I made the mistake of asking my radio partner, Kevin Battle, who used to be intern with Jim. That's how small this city is. And I made the mistake. We had a commercial on the air, and I know everybody's heard these where they talk about now the commercials are one of two things, ED commercials or some type of colon digestive issues, and they mentioned the word stool. And all I said to Kevin was, I wonder where that word came from to describe that. Well, he looked it up. Apparently in the 1500s, royalty used to sit on what they would call a stool, which was basically a box with a hole cut out. And there, no, wait, it gets better. So there was a guy assigned to be the stool groom, and he would pull the drawer out afterwards, presumably, and then he would have to dump it. So that's where all that's the genesis. Why are we talking about this?
Conversation's going down
to my head, Larry.
You know,
thank God I didn't live in the 1500s. That would be my job.
Can you see that?
I'm qualified for.
Jim Krenn, stand-up radio legend, producer, writer, singer, and stool groom.
I would be the best. Try to be the best stool groom I could be. You look like the stool boy. I had these stool groom. That's an interesting story.
It's actually true.
That.
So next time you hear one of those spots, well, forget about all that. We are with us in attendance, former anchor man, Paul Martino from KDK TV.
It's been a very educational morning so far.
See, you already learned something. And then
stick with us, Paul.
We're also with Hal Klein, who's the food editor of Pittsburgh Magazine. Nobody knows the culinary arts here in Pittsburgh more than Hal. Hal, how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for about 10 years now. I started writing about drinking in Pittsburgh.
Oh, good.
Here in a wonderful place to drink, which is very exciting. So my first job was for Pittsburgh City Paper, writing about booze, which was fun, and then moved over to Pittsburgh Magazine. I've been restaurant critic for a little more than 6 years now, and just eating around town. You know, the other side of the equation of what we were talking about just
now. This is where it begins.
That's a good point. Let's start on that end. So, for Mark Eddy, he comes back frequently. And even for Jim and I, we're natives and are still here. There's been so many changes in the whole restaurant industry, particularly in the last 10 years, maybe more so in the last decade than ever before in this town.
Yeah, it's wild. You know, so I moved here in 2010 from California, actually.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? What part?
I was in the Bay Area, but I was grew up in the Bay Area, but was living in Los Angeles.
Can I ask
you? Here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be your question.
What the hell?
I moved here to get a master's degree in food studies. I was acting in Los Angeles, doing film, stuff like that.
Oh, you were an
past
actor
life
too.
Working as an actor. I worked in New York. I did Shakespeare for a long time.
How about that?
And then in 2008, with the economy and everything that collapsed, I realized that, you know, I just wanted to do something different with my life. Was more and more into food. Found out about this kind of esoteric master's degree called food studies. And Chatham University, the first year of the program was 2010. I was like, I'm just going to come to Pittsburgh for 2 years and get a master's degree and move back to California. And here I am in 2022, and I can't see myself living anywhere else.
That's insane.
You know, it's interesting, too, to point out that, yes, people come to Pittsburgh. They think they'll stay a few years, which I did as well. I thought I'd stay here 3 years and move on. And it gets in your blood, and you just can't leave.
And you're from the Chicago area, Paul.
I'm from Chicago. I always wanted to get back to Chicago, but I could never leave here. I had my kids and great friends, and I worked at a great station, KDKA TV. I love it here. I'll never leave.
And Mark, where'd you go to high school?
Went to Steubenville Catholic Central High School.
Wow.
Catholic boy and a fellow altar boy with Jimmy.
That's terrifying that you both were altar boys and now you're in California hanging out, getting mani-pedis, doing stand-up.
There's a whole lot there in what you were just saying.
Can you guys hang with us for a little while here?
Absolutely.
So we'll just pause for just a second. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, Paul Martino, Hal Klein, Al Martino. No, Al's not here.
He's Al
Mark
passed
Eddie,
away.
Yeah. From 23rd and Vine on the South Side, episode 22. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. We're at 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street in the South Side near the Birmingham Bridge. And we are with our buddy Jim Krenn, who is in California with Pittsburgh area guy because he's really, you know, from across the border. But we consider him our own. If you're successful, you're our guy. If you're not, you're theirs. So Mark Eddy, and they're hanging out at Mark's house. We got Paul Martino, former KDK TV anchorman, Hal Klein, former actor. And I want to know, Hal, how you got into a job where you wrote about drinking.
It was like stupid good luck. I, as part of the food studies program, I took a food writing class, was trying to figure out what I wanted to do after the program. I knew it was going to be some kind of storytelling or some kind of getting people to kind of think about the food that they're eating and where they're eating from. Took this class a couple, like 2 weeks after the class. I was actually in Los Angeles visiting some friends, and the professor of the class, Sherry Flick, who's an amazing Pittsburgh writer, writes about gardening for the Post-Gazette too, emailed three of us and said, hey, this job at Pittsburgh City Paper, their drinks columnist just quit abruptly. If any of you want to do this, I'll put in a good word. And I was like, oh, yeah, get paid to write about drinking? That sounds like fun. So told my friends, I was like, hey, ironically, we were going to a bar. And I was like, hey, hang on, let me just send this pitch in real quick. And then one thing led to another. And, you know, Pittsburgh, one of the great things about Pittsburgh is it's one of those cities where everyone is one step away from each other. So, you know, the editor there knew who I was. And then by the time I went to a party and the new editor from Pittsburgh Magazine at the time was at that party, I was like, hey, I'd love to write for you. And she's like, cool, I'm familiar with your work. Because I'd written a bit for the Post-Gazette at that point. And so everything just sort of leads to another. And if you're open-minded, if you're out, if you're doing things, and if you have, you know, a modicum of talent, you can succeed here, which
and
is great.
This is why we don't leave, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But how do you go from acting to writing about food? How did that come about?
It's all storytelling, right? So it's just storytelling in a different way. Acting, you're using someone else's words usually when you're doing the storytelling. And food, you're looking at, but you're still looking at the lens and you're saying, so I just wrote a story, well, it was about a year ago, on pizza and the pizza of the region, thinking about Steubenville right now, where really pizza in this region got started at DiCarlo's. And so it starts from there. And then what is the story? How are you going to tell it? Who? What is it going to mean to the people who read it? And everything just kind of works from there. And if you're learning, if you're open, if you're listening, you're going to get to what you're doing. And it's exciting. I get to also, you know, go to restaurants and be opinionated, which is fun.
Well, I heard that Pittsburgh per capita is one of the largest consumers of pizza in the country.
We love pizza here.
We love pizza. Mark, Eddie, do you have a favorite pizza shop in the Berg when you come back?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, gosh, the Pittsburgh pizza, you just can't duplicate that out here. You know, and over in Steubenville, we have this DiCarlo's pizza. It's all around the Ohio Valley and stuff like that. But I used to work at a little pizza shop when I was in high school.
I would take you to Minio's when you come in.
Yeah, Minio's is, that's probably my favorite right there. I have to rate that number one. Yep, absolutely.
You know, it's funny that the cuisine here is so different. It's healthy. Everything's healthy. And we were eating a dinner yesterday, and they, applaud you whenever you order something healthy. They go to organic chicken, and the waiter's like, good choice. He said, listen, they describe the food to you, guys. They're like, this chicken has no hormones, no antibiotics, had the flu, took 2 Tylenol, and went to bed. He's a little hero you're eating. They're really... they love you to be healthier.
That's very funny. Paul, do you have a favorite
pizza? Part of the Santa Clarita diet.
I'm a Minio's guy. I love Minio's.
Minio's is good. You know what I discovered is crust pizza in the South Hills. You can take it home and bake it yourself. And so, I mean, it's as fresh as it gets. I'm in love with that place now.
Yeah, there is a difference if you're going to eat in or if you're taking out. Some of the food doesn't travel as well as others. It does make a difference.
Yeah, certain things don't travel well. Pizza's nice because pizza typically, it depends on the style of pizza, but that travels well. And, you know, I also enjoy getting that pizza straight out of the oven, but then also leaving it, sitting in a box, you know, maybe 11 o'clock at night, coming back for a second round or something like that.
Well, do you microwave your pizza?
No.
That's actually a sin.
Is that a sin?
Ask the altar boys. They'll tell you, right? Yeah. Mark, Jimmy, that's a sin to microwave pizza.
I like cold pizza. I can go cold pizza.
I can go cold.
It's out of the fridge all day long. It's a good breakfast. Breakfast and chamber.
It's all right, but I'm sorry. It's better hot. Yeah. Even when it's on the second and third.
I give it a 20-second blast.
20-second blast.
I am a sinner.
A little crunch. I mean, if it's hot, it's got a crunch. You can't nuke it. It's all floppy. Yeah, microwave is not good.
Paul and I disagree with you.
There's an art to it.
Are microwaves legal in California?
What's that?
Are microwaves legal in California?
No, they outlawed those about a decade ago.
I have an underground microwave I brought Mark. Yeah, no one knows about it.
Underground microwave.
I brought it from Pittsburgh.
You got to hide it. You got a secret compartment for your microwave in your house.
Exactly.
They'll check.
I got to ask you, Jim, do you still get nervous before you perform, like going out to L.A.? Because, you know, when you're here, everybody knows you, you're home. Out there, you know, it's kind of reinventing the wheel all over again.
I absolutely do get nervous, Larry, because I have to restructure my act completely to have it on a national level. You know, I could take a nap on stage in Pittsburgh. It's like home. It's like family. The audience is like family out there. They are. It's just, you know, I've known them forever, and they've been known for 20, 30 years almost, talking to the audience out there that we're talking to. And so, yeah, so it's comfortable in Pittsburgh, but it is definitely a bit nerve-wracking. After the first show, I'm good. Now, this festival will do one show a night. So after I get the show out tonight, I'll be okay.
Well, I want to ask you, Jim, can you talk about Pittsburgh? And Pittsburghese, when you're with a national audience, when you're out in L.A.?
I do. You know what, Sheila? This is funny. When I come out here, Mark puts together, when it's not a festival, puts together a bunch of shows. And the funny thing is, at the end of the set, like I'll do a set, Mark will do a set, this guy Greg Hahn will do a set. Very funny comedian. But anyway, when the show's kind of over, Mark will bring me back on stage to talk about Pittsburgh. And I will talk about it. And I talk about it, and everyone relates, because... You know, Pittsburgh is, of course, great to connect with us. You know, my mom's my mom. Everyone is a mom. When I do a bit, so my bit, in other words. So the bits kind of connect when you explain the city a little bit to everyone. So
we have Steeler fans out here that have never been to Pittsburgh. It's crazy. We have a black and gold club nearby here. It's a certified, you know, black and gold, part of the Steeler Nation. They get together about 9 o'clock in the morning, watch the Steeler games.
Never been.
And literally half the people in there, and it's packed, all have Steeler jerseys on. Half of them have never been to Pittsburgh.
What do you suppose? Why is that? Why have the Steelers resonated with so many people in so many places? There are probably more Steeler bars. And Jimmy and I, with Donnie Iris, went to the Steeler bar in Rome. So they're all over the world.
I think it's because what the Steelers stand for, you know, the quality, you know, honor. And I think people relate to it. And we've got a lot of international, you know, for the Super Bowls. We've been enough Super Bowls to get out there. So any team that's been in Super Bowls like that pick up fans outside the city. And that's pretty cool that people have never been to Pittsburgh. They're fans of our city. I've talked to some people who just can't wait to come to Pittsburgh. Can't wait to see it.
Right.
Really. And I got to say, Pittsburgh, I'm proud of Pittsburgh. It's amazing what the city has done and where we come.
We have a little Italian restaurant right here in Santa Clarita. It's called Maria's Deli, okay? And they have on their board, when you walk in, the center of the board says the Pittsburgh Special. And it's essentially a Permane sandwich. They put the coleslaw and the french fries on it, and they call it the Pittsburgh Special. Get it? Pittsburgh style is what they say.
So that's Pittsburgh.
It's right here. You wouldn't believe it.
You know what? We better tell the Permane's people they're going to come out there.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
Bring some on.
Get the lawyer on the phone.
Somebody. Great cigar shops out here too, brother.
Yeah, well, it is exciting. I'm excited for you, Jim, because I've seen and been with you many times for your act. That must be pretty cool, because one of the most terrifying things to do is to get up in front of an audience, and your job is to make them laugh, and it's pretty clear how it's going. You don't have to ask anybody, right? The feedback is there, but that's part of the thrill too when it's going well. I've seen you kill so many times, Jim and Mark. Mark, when you were at Steamworks with Jimmy, boy, that was a few months ago. It was a blast, and people were so ready for entertainment. So I give you guys a lot of credit, man, especially making a living doing that.
You know, Larry, I'm lucky with Mark. He's really helped me with, you know, transferring my act a little bit to the national scale. And I've had some success thanks to Mark. So it's kind of cool whenever we get good shows here, you know. For me.
Jim's being really humble. You know, a lot of your premises, everything, you kind of, you know, you go into your mode in Pittsburgh, but you that translates to a national audience, really. There's nothing about the stories that you tell and the things that you do, other than some of the local references, that don't translate to a national, international even. We did the Cabo Comedy Festival a few years ago, and Jim killed every show. They just love the voices. They love the characters. They love that that little Pittsburgh twang that he kind of puts on, right?
Yeah,
you do, and you know, and it's really universal. And Jim kills, and he's being humble right now, but he really does. He lights up the crowds here and lights up the audience, and just we all have a blast, and we're all better, you know, just laughing and feeling good.
Well, we appreciate you guys taking time from your busy schedule. And I know you got to get to your next service appointment before the big shows tonight. Mark Eddy, when you come back to town, let us know. We'd love to have you on again. And Jimmy, we'll check in with you. Safe travels, man. And what do you say to a comedian before your first show? Break a lip?
Break a lip. That's good. I'm going to bring him some yinzer out here.
Hey, Mark, what's the best way for people to connect to your comedy?
Just to have a love for music, because I incorporate rock and roll and music and impressions and stories and lots of good times. Yeah, and the website, markgetty.com, you can check me out there, too.
All right, Mr. Jim Krenn, Mark Eddy, thank you, guys. Let's hear it for the boys.
Woo-hoo! Be careful with those nails.
Jim. Yes, enjoy your mani-pedis.
All right, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and we got more on episode 22 from 23rd in Vine. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. We're at 23rd in Vine on East Carson Street, episode 22. We're also with former anchor man, Paul Martino. He's not just
good
a man.
Morning.
He's an anchor man. And
listen,
Hal Klein.
Voice. Both of you. I'm in between two.
Well, you're an anchor woman.
You're a pro, too. What are you talking about?
And we're excited. Learned a lot about Hal Klein, who's the food editor of Pittsburgh Magazine. And the best part is that you came here from the West Coast, the Bay Area, and ended up staying in Pittsburgh. Is it true that Pittsburghers want to know what you think of us and why you stayed?
I mean, I think the great thing about Pittsburgh is no one actually cares what people think of people in Pittsburgh outside of Pittsburgh. I think that's what makes Pittsburgh so special, right? Is people are just like, we're just going to do what we want here. And there isn't a like, oh, you know, we need this validation or whatever. Like, Pittsburgh's just a great place on its own. And I stayed because of a bunch of different things. I think the community here is amazing. I think the fact that you just run into people, it's got this real feel of a city that is connected in a way a city is supposed to be. And then for my job, I mean, it was like, you know, it's been such an exciting decade in food in Pittsburgh. And so there's always something new to see. There's always something new to taste. There's always someone doing something because one, people are able to afford to kind of get in the game here. And two, people are supporting what's going on, which is cool.
Were you surprised at the way Pittsburgh has really taken off as far as a foodie city goes? I mean, we're what, number one or number two in the country now?
According to Zagat.
Food cities.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, I think when you look around the country, it happened at the same time that's happening in a lot of other places, which is like people are into regional stuff right now, right? So it used to be, oh, you've got to go to New York to do this, or you've got to go to Chicago to do this. And now people, you know, what happened in Pittsburgh is what happened in places like Milwaukee and places, you know, other places like that, where people maybe were in New York or maybe in San Francisco and said, I want to come home and I want to do this here. And so you have people that are bringing in ideas. And then, of course, with social media and a little bit more travel, people are seeing what's going on. And so we're having all this stuff, but it's rooted in where we're from. And so, you know, like the James Beard nominations just came out yesterday for the semifinalist list. And Apteka, which is a Pittsburgh restaurant that's a vegan restaurant, but is so rooted in both like our Eastern European foodways and in like our farms right now. You know, they were nominated for semifinalists for Best Chef Mid-Atlantic. 40 North, which is another restaurant like that, again, rooted in the same thing, Western Pennsylvania foodways and Eastern European immigrant culture. And then Weizhou from Chengdu Gourmet, when you're looking at Squirrel Hill and you see all the regional Chinese restaurants, which I think is the most, I think that's the thing that surprises
people
outside of Pittsburgh.
Well, they have a growing Asian population in Squirrel Hill.
Yeah, and, you know, the universities and the partnerships with that, you know, and plus people in Pittsburgh saying like, hey, you know, like, yeah, I want my halushki, I want my pierogies, but I also want to try some mapo tofu and cumin lamb. And I think people here are interested in what's happening. And so you're seeing all these things, and like that representation in something like the James Beard Awards, I think, is something that's really exciting. And maybe 10 years ago, you wouldn't have expected.
For those that don't know, how prestigious are the James Beard? Who was James Beard?
It's huge. So James Beard was a writer, a gastronome, a cooking teacher, one of the first TV chefs. And
wasn't he from Portland, Oregon?
I think originally, yeah. And then he lived in New York. Yeah. And, you know, there was the James Beard house in New York.
Sorry.
Best friends.
But being from Portland, I did know that, yeah.
And so, yeah, so it's, you know, and again, like these, you know, different influences from different places. And over the last, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, the James Beard Awards have become such a huge thing. You know, it's not an exact equivalent, but people are like, oh, it's like the Academy Awards of food or whatever. And so to have that represented, if you would say, you know, if you had asked me 10 years ago, would a vegan restaurant and a Sichuan Chinese restaurant be part of Pittsburgh's representation in these awards, I think you would have been hard-pressed to have said, yeah, sure, that's what's going to happen.
I was surprised being in Squirrel Hill just a few weeks ago. I noticed the number of Pan-Asian restaurants there. I was at Pigeon Bagels trying to get fresh.
Those are good bagels.
It's good. There was a long line, too.
Yeah, line around the block.
Paul, you were going to say?
Well, yeah. I wanted to, Hal, is the restaurant industry recovering? Because, like, what, 30% of the restaurants closed for good during the pandemic? We lost iconic restaurants like the Carlton, for example. What's happening now?
Slowly, you know, I wrote a piece like 2 months ago about the outlook, and it was so bleak because it was right when Omicron was really surging and restaurants were having to close for Christmas. A lot of bars and other establishments had to close for New Year's Eve because people were sick, or they didn't want people to get sick by going there. And so it was a really bleak time. And I think what we're seeing over the last couple of weeks, you know, maybe with a little bit of a turn in the weather, with a bit with the coronavirus kind of going away a little bit now, is people are being a little bit more optimistic and you're starting to see things opening again. So Meat and Potatoes, which was one of the first big downtown openings, I think in 2011 of this modern era, they just reopened this week. Alta Via Pizzeria from the Big Burrito Group, they're starting to pop up over in Bakery Square this week. So you're starting to see things come back and you're starting to see people get excited to go out again, which is really important.
But when they go out now, though, they're going to see rising food costs. I mean, it's tough when you go out there to a restaurant and you look at the prices on the menu and you go, how often can I afford to go out and eat?
Yeah, I mean, that's the next challenge, right, is how are restaurants going to deal with this? Because I think people don't realize that restaurants are really low margin business to begin with. So sometimes people see like, oh, there's a $60 steak on the menu or a $25 plate of pasta, and like $25 plate of pasta, they're robbing me. But like the restaurant's making, maybe a buck or two.
That's it.
Off of that bowl of pasta when you factor in all the costs. So you're factoring in the cost of food, the cost of labor, the cost of who's doing the dishes, the cost of who's cleaning the restaurant at night.
Traditionally, it's the alcohol where they make their money.
Yeah, and so, places with liquor licenses, I think, are going to do a little bit better right now, and you're going to see that. But I think, I think we're also seeing a shift from, we're going out, every Tuesday night to a fine dining restaurant, to maybe Tuesday night we're going to go out to a more casual restaurant, and we're going to save going to a fancier restaurant, such as like Spork or Eleven, for a special occasion.
Mm-hmm. And one of the legacies of the pandemic was so many restaurants needed outdoor dining to survive that one stretch, and now they just made it permanent in the city for those restaurants to continue to have outdoor dining, which they, what do you call that, alfresca in every city, right?
Yeah, and it's nice. Obviously, like in Pittsburgh, we're not a hub of great outdoor dining, but we appreciate it when we can do it. And I think it's a good sign that the city is saying we're going to support the restaurants, and this is another opportunity to support restaurants. And it's lovely on a beautiful summer night, right, to be able to sit outside. We should have more of that.
A lot of these restaurants are still having trouble filling their staffs, right? There's still a labor shortage.
Yeah, there's still a
shortage. And they have to pay them more to get them.
You got
to
pay more. And that's, I think what happened was a lot of people said, why am I working in this kitchen? Because also, when you look back at the peak of the virus, line cooks were one of the most affected professions that there were. So line cooks got coronavirus at a higher rate than almost anyone else. And I think a lot of people said, man, I'm earning 11, 10 bucks an hour. I'm working 80 hours a week. And now I'm getting exposed to this. Like, forget it. I'm going to go work in construction or do something else. And so there's a lot of staff rebuilding. And then what happened with front of house staff was they were starting to get people in and starting to train them. And then there was this like weird period where people were excited to go out, but restaurants were short staffed. So then the people that were going out were getting frustrated. And most people dealt with it like adults, but a lot of people dealt with it like children and started yelling at the staff and berating the staff in a way that was inappropriate. And when you have someone whose third shift it is, they were just like, forget this, I'm not coming back. So I think we're starting again to see things build up. We're starting to see that excitement. We're starting to see people in kitchens get excited about making recipes again. It's not, there was a period where it was just like, we're just keeping afloat and we're doing this. And now I think people are like, we're excited to have people back. We want people in. We want to show off what we can do.
Well, what are some of the new restaurants? I noticed I was at the Journey Toto concert at PPG Paints, but went downtown. First of all, Full House. Toto came out. Steve Lukather, who's their famous founder guitar player, came out after a couple songs, looked at the crowd, which was packed. No masks. It was the first real feel that I saw of entertainment. But that means a lot of people were downtown having dinner at restaurants, which we haven't had in the city for so long. But he came out and he said, this is our first live performance in 2.4 years. And we are so happy it's here in Pittsburgh. Of course, the crowd went wild. But all those people spilled out either before or after the show to the restaurants and bars, which, up until that point, it's been a long road.
Yeah, downtown especially was, really hard hit by this. The combination of the loss of people during the day going to offices and at night going to entertainment downtown. And so now things are really starting to pick up. So I said Meat and Potatoes back open again. That's the Richard Deschamps Restaurant Group, which also opened G-Gin, which is a raw fish, gin, sake experience this year, which is terrific.
Where is that?
It's right next to Taco and Butcher in the Rye, right across the street. I think it's across from the Benedum.
Yeah.
And then Gaucho, which was in the Strip for a long time, they moved into the old Sixpen space downtown about a year ago, or maybe a year and a half ago. And so they're starting to get full up. And so, you know, you're starting to see a lot of stuff.
You mentioned
down there.
You mentioned Alta Vista. They're opening now in Station or Market Square, not Station Square.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a big investment in downtown. And that's saying something that they're saying, you know, like, hey, we want to open down here. So they're going to open. It'll be about a year or so before they open. They're going to totally remodel the space. But that's going to be amazing.
Cool.
What's the restaurant just to the left of the O'Reilly Theater? They changed the name. It used to be an Italian place. It looks like a jazzy.
Oh, yeah, Con Alma, which is one of the most exciting openings downtown. So Con Alma, small jazz club in Shadyside. It's my favorite place to hear jazz in the city. It's amazing. That room is beautiful. And they have a small kitchen in there that they went all vegetarian with for that menu because they opened up downtown in the old Peter Allen space.
Right.
And with this beautiful, beautiful, it's a beautiful space, great drinks,
fabulous.
Really wonderful menu.
And the musicians are right there on top of you practically.
And they're live jazz, they're starting to go later and later into the evening too. So if you want to hear live jazz, 11 p.m. midnight on a weekend, that's exciting. So it's cool. And it's good to see all of this happening, especially after such like dire straits and dire feelings that we've had, and it feels good to go downtown, right, and see people out of a concert.
You know, it was surreal, and it would break your heart because in the cultural district there were periods where during the week, especially in a work week, you'd walk downtown and there was nobody in sight. I mean, it was like devastating, almost like a post-apocalyptic scene. And
there was no one on the parkway. You know, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and it feels like we're coming out of this. Hopefully there's no trailing variant. I remember late in the fall, I was in Syracuse with a Pitt football team when we heard about Omicron. And I told the guys we were having dinner with, our team there, I said, Omicron, this thing's surging. And they're like, come on, man, you're just kidding. I mean, and then you saw what happened. We got hit like with a tsunami. But all of a sudden, it seems like it's come and gone, and people are so anxious to get back to their normal life.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's happy to, feels nice to go out, right? And I think that's, you know, for restaurants and bars, I think that's the challenge right now, is there still is that lingering uncertainty, because I think that happened, you know, a year ago when people started getting vaccinated. And it was spring and then summer and everyone's like, this is great. And then Delta happened and people were like, oh gosh, all right, well, we can make it through this. And then people finally started to kind of get going again, and then Omicron happened. So the sense I get, and I know, I mean, I'm not a scientist at all, so I don't know what's actually going to happen, but it feels a little bit good right now.
Yeah.
Well, certainly the statistics bear that out.
Yeah.
You may not be a scientist, but we know you're an actor, so you could be one if you wanted to
be. I could play one on TV.
Hal Klein, so great to meet you. A fascinating backstory of how you got to Pittsburgh and stayed here. We hooked you. You're a Yinzer now.
Yeah, I'm here forever now. This is my place.
Read all about it. Pittsburgh Magazine, Hal Klein. And Paul, as a former anchorman, with what's going on in the world with Russia, do you feel like
I'm kind of glued to the TV, yeah. I have to admit it. It kept me up last night.
Do you miss it?
I don't. I had a nice run, and it's a younger person's game. You know that, Sheila.
I would agree.
That's what the exorcist guy, the priest that Jimmy knew, said. Remember, he said it's a young man's game.
Yeah.
That always circles back somehow. Always. What are you doing? Are you doing anything? You got any shows?
I've been emceeing a lot of events. My band just had a big show. We have another one coming up in June. You hit on a topic for one of your future shows, concerts. This is going to be one of the biggest concert years ever. Everybody is hitting the road because, as Hal mentioned, they haven't worked in 2 years.
I know, and they're anxious. And I can tell you, again, from being at the Journey Toto show, the audience was so engaged and so happy to be entertained. And it was real, true love and a two-way passion from the bands. Yeah. They got it. So, Hal, great to finally meet you. I've read your stuff. Pick one restaurant to recommend to me to go in the city of Pittsburgh?
Oh, that's impossible. I would say go to Pittsburgh Magazine's best restaurants list and pick.
I knew you were going to say
the ones that are on there.
And I want to say too, Hal, you really are very talented at what you do. I mean, there are a lot of food critics out there, but you're very, very talented.
Thank you.
We can sense your true passion.
He's good on a podcast too.
Mm-hmm. And Paul, we'll have you back again.
That's the training. Yeah, it's the voice training.
Really great.
You can tell just the way he holds the microphone. You know, right up to his mouth. He knows.
We have time. I want to ask Hal a quick question. I live in Bloomfield. There's an exciting new restaurant there. Have you been to it? G's on Liberty?
Yeah, I actually live right around there. We're neighbors, maybe. I also live in Bloomfield.
Grania, what's her name? Grania Trainer, mm-hmm. who used to own Blue and the Oak Barrel. She knows how to run a restaurant. It's really cool. She old Alexander's.
I love the hospitality in that space.
Yeah.
I was there a couple weeks ago. And everyone seemed to be having a really wonderful time. And she was making the rent. It's cool, too. You know, it's, I think, you know, we talk about chefs, and this is another topic for another day, but we don't talk about front of house people enough, and she's someone
she talks to everybody
that runs a restaurant that
she
is
put a lot of money into that place. It's beautiful.
It makes a big difference. And there's to me, it's one of the greatest joys in life is having dinner with family and friends. So Hal, keep up the great work. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, same. Thanks for having me on.
Pittsburgh Magazine, check him out. Paul Martino, look for him at a venue near you. And Sheila, you and I will be back with Jimmy for our next episode.
Yes, I'm so glad Jimmy will be back in town.
Larry Richard, Unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland. I want to thank Dick Roberts, our producer, Jim Patulski, who is an extraordinary audio engineer, and so much more. And Sheila,
I'll Marcello.
She just likes to say Marcello.
Thank you.
Yeah. And again, thanks to Bob Bazzelli, Lou Caputo, 23rd and Vine on East Carson, here on the south side near the Birmingham Bridge. That's a wrap.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.